What does Psalm 85, verse 6 say? Thank you. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? And I trust that you're experiencing some of that these days being here at Bible school. Just like a revival in your heart, encouragement. I trust that is your experience. I have to ask a question to myself, and I want to extend that to you as well. Where is my spiritual temperature? This morning, where is my spiritual temperature? Is there something in my life that is hindering that open and close relationship with my Heavenly Father? Yesterday we talked about conviction, and I had this quote in here as well. I'd like just to put up the screen there. I would rather feel conviction of sin than feel nothing, because then I'm assured that God loves me and is drawing me close to Himself. If I feel nothing, either good or bad, God is likely not even there. Conviction is a mercy of God. God caring about you. God caring about where you're at. How's my heart this morning? Is God in my heart? Do I feel the tug of God in my life? The tapping on my shoulder. That still small voice. If you do, praise God for His care to you. And respond to Him. Respond to his call. You know, this call, God calling His children, is not just a call to become a Christian. But you know, God continues to call us, continues to sanctify us. He calls His children closer to Himself. We talked about relationships somewhat. You know, God, the relationship we have with God is like a relationship we have with people. You know, it needs to grow. And I asked the question before, if your closest friend, if you would relate to your closest friend as you do with God, would your closest friend be happy with that? God wants relationship. He wants us to be close to Him, connected. Is my Christian life flowing out like a fountain or like a spring of living water? Just like an artesian well, a well that continues to flow and flow. Blessing all those that we come in contact with. The stream that's flowing from my life. I love looking at or seeing these little artesian wells, or these springs of water coming out of the ground. You probably see them here too as well. But just like a hole, just water is bubbling out of the ground, out of a rock or out of a corner or something. It's just bubbling out. Just keeps on coming out, flowing, and it just runs down the rocks, makes ponds, and is running down the rocks. But that spring coming out of that rock is just amazing, very inspirational. Is that how my life is? Is it flowing out from the inside? You know, God expects that out of us. God in our hearts needs to come out. As God has filled our hearts with His presence, with His love, our lives will overflow. Our lives will bubble forth. As a Christian that's connected to the source, this will be our experience. And yet, we are human. And we have our struggles. We have the trials we face. We have circumstances we need to work with and overcome. And through those experiences, our springs tend to slow down. Sometimes even tend to slow down to a trickle. Sometimes even stop. But this morning, we need to to lift up the hands that hang down. You've heard that verse before. Hebrews 12, verse 11 to 13. Can someone read that for me? Thank you, Zachary. Thank you. Life seems to be chastening at times, doesn't it? The things we face, and it actually is. God is in a sense, God is curbing us, channeling us, refining us through the things that we face, and those are chastings. Sometimes we think we can avoid that, but God, in His mercy, I'd like to look at that a little bit later here, how God views us. God does see our best. God has our best in mind. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Let it be healed. You know, our Heavenly Father is a healer. Our Heavenly Father delights to heal. He delights to heal all those that come to Him. I have two verses there again. I volunteered for them. For Psalm 147, no, someone for Isaiah 41:10, one of the ladies. Thank you. Psalm 147, verse 3.
He hath broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds.
Thank you. And what does Isaiah 41:10 say? Thank you. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. And then Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, I am with thee. I am thy God. God still does miracles. God can do miracles. He will continue to do miracles. Am I willing? Am I willing to be more like Jesus? What will happen when we follow Jesus? What will happen? That might sound like a simple question. This morning, as you consider following Jesus, what can you expect to happen? Is there any comments on that? Thank you. Exactly. We will be changed. Amen. Anything else?
We will have victory over sin.
Very good. We will enjoy victory. The most highlighted fact there is that we will experience change and growth as we follow Jesus. I like the thought about walking, as we walk in the shadow of Christ, as God shines, as His love shines through His Son onto us, we walk in the shadow of Christ. Oh, what a beautiful spot to be. But this morning, where are we at this morning? How am I feeling this morning? Do I sense a need? Do you sense a need in your life? Sometimes in life we feel dry. Earl talked about fallow ground last night. Sometimes we feel hard. We feel dry. And I'd like to look at a little story this morning in Ezekiel. Let's turn to Ezekiel 37. It's a rather interesting story of a vision. But I'd like to apply that to our lives in a little way here. Ezekiel 37. I'd like to read the first four verses. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Let's just break off there for a bit. How much life is in a dry bone?
None.
Thank you. None. You know, it's powder dry. Like, it's just bone dry. That's a good term. Powder dry. They're hard. It's useless. And I'm not sure if you, do you sense any part of that in your own life? Like, is there any parts of your life that feel like that too? They're just dry, just powder dry, hard. Do we have any dry bones in our lives? You think about a bone, we think about structure, we think about stability, we think about strength. You know, without bones, we would just be a floppy. Can't imagine not having bones. Bones bring structure, bones bring stability and strength. But if the bone's dried up, there's a lot of things wrong. If the bone is dried up, it's not doing its job, and the surrounding factors, there's something wrong. So I'd like to consider a few bones in my life that should be very vibrant and living structural bones. And it's not just young people that need this encouragement, but I want to encourage you with this. Do I have any dry bones in my life? Here's some of the bones that we're looking at a little bit. The bone of the spring of joy. We talked about those artesian wells just flowing forth out of our lives. But think of the spring of joy in my life. You know, you all know what that has been like. Maybe you're probably experiencing that more so this morning, this Bible school. But the spring of joy flowing out of your heart, it's tremendous. That's just a tremendous blessing. But is that bone dried up in your life? What about the bone of victory over the desires and lusts of the flesh? Through the blood of the Lamb. What about that bone? Having victory over the desires and the lusts of the flesh. Is that bone just left out to dry? We've thrown that bone out. It's just left out there to dry. Another bone, devotion to God. Is this bone forgotten? What about the bone of love? Looks like I moved it around on my slide there. The bone of love. Has this bone this structural bone that's to bring strength and stability, has this bone been swallowed up by bitterness? Is this bone alive and well? The bone of love. What about the bone of purity in my life? What about the bone of God's ownership of me and of all my possessions? What about the bone of respect for others? What about the bone of trust and respect to authorities over me? And there's a lot more bones we could talk about. But these bones should be vibrant, living bones within our bodies. And you know, that may be out of context a little, but I trust you get the picture of what I'm thinking. Have these bones dried up, or are they laying on a pile, discarded, hard and useless? The question for myself and everyone is, do these bones affect the rest of my body? Well, if you break a bone, you all know that it does affect the rest of our body. If we have a bone that's dried up, it probably really won't be any different. Galatians 5:9 says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And we know how sin is. Sometimes we need to be reminded that sin will affect us. Sin always will affect us. If we sin in our lives in any shape or any form or any type, that sin will affect us. The body can't function properly if part of it is dead. I'd like to keep reading in Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37, verse 5 to 10 now. So we found in this vision, this story, that here was this valley of a lot of dry bones. And they were very dry, it said in verse 2. Verse 5 to 10. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will come up and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, a bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Rather interesting vision he had here. These bones came together. Bone to bone, it says. And then the sinews and the flesh covered the bones. Then the skin covered them. Then the four winds blew life into these bodies, and they became alive and stood up on their feet as a great army. And yes, this was all a vision. But yet, what couldn't God do? What can't God do? God can do anything. But there are some things that God won't do. God won't bring life into a dead bone in our life if we don't want Him to. God won't bring revival to our hearts and lives if we don't ask Him for it. Well, that sounds kind of close home. The question for all of us is, what am I limiting God to in my life? Can I limit God in my life? Should have asked that first. Am I hindering the work and the power of God in my life? If we keep on reading Ezekiel 37, 11 to 14, then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We're cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I shall place you in my own land, then shall ye know that I am the Lord, that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. You know, the Lord can open the grave of deadness, the grave where those dead bones are, like it talks in verse 12. He will cause you to come out. Ye shall know that I am the Lord. You will understand that it is the power of God. Verse 14 says, He will put His Spirit in you. He will breathe life into those dead bones, and we can experience life. This morning, as we think about the dead bones that may be in our lives, we need to bring that to God. Plead God. Bring that to God in pleading for His mercy, that God would come visit us and bless us with His breath of life to renew us and bring us life to our dry bones. Some questions to ask ourselves. Am I experiencing victory in my Christian life? Are the bones that we mentioned, are they alive and well? Or are we slipping into casual Christianity? We all know it's not very hard to gravitate to deadness, is it? Happens by default. Okay, we need to move along here. But there's some other deeper questions we could ask as well. Can we stand the test of opposition to the Christian walk of life? What about persecution? We don't know what that's like. Another question, are we a good quality link in the chain of passing the faith on from our forefathers? Your parents have instilled some foundations. They've instilled and encouraged faith and believing in your life by your teaching. Going forward, are we a good quality link in the chain of passing on the faith of our forefathers? Or will we be the cause of a break in that chain? And there's more we could look at. Okay, we have a bit more to go over here yet. You know, as we think, I showed you that picture the other day of Christ there with that big teddy bear wanting to give it to the little girl. You know, we stubbornly think many times that we have what we need. But we underestimate what Jesus really has for us. God promises healing. I thought I had some verses written down here, but I must have got missed in my slide. Anyway, I'd like some verses to be read. How do we make the promises? How do we make these promises of a new life real in our lives? Matthew 7, 7 and 8. Raise your hand, Donovan. And James 4, 8. Thank you. And Isaiah 55, 1, and then 6 and 7. Thank you, James. John 4, 14, one of the, please. Thank you. And Psalm 107, verse 9. Thank you. What does Matthew 7, verse 7 to 8 say?
Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened.
Thank you. How does God bring revival and new life to us? We need to ask. We need to knock. Seek. We need to seek and we need to knock. It talks about diligence. It talks about effort. I always marvel at, you know, why God needs us to ask and seek and knock. Like he knows what we need. He knows what you need. He does. But he asks us. He wants us to diligently ask, seek, and knock. There's so much in that diligence, in that effort, reaching out, that blesses God and opens the door for him to pour into his blessings into our lives. What does James 4, verse 8 say? Thank you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Pretty basic. That's exactly what happens. Isaiah 55, 1, and then verse 6 to 7.
And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price.
Was it 6 to 7? 6 and 7, yeah.
Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon.
Thank you. God's free gift. God delights to quench our thirst, but he calls us to seek and come. John 4:14. Thank you. God promises to fill us. Psalm 107, verse 9.
Where he satisfies the longing soul and fills up the hungry soul with goodness.
Thank you. He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Notice there, the longing soul and the hungry soul. Without a longing soul, without a hungry soul, can we expect to be filled? He promises to satisfy those that have the longing soul. What are some... Just quickly here, some practical ways to encourage growth for daily living. We already looked at whether we can hinder God's work and power of God in our lives, and we know that we can. Practical ways to encourage growth for daily living. You know, without connecting to God and his word, can we expect growth? We need to be connected to the source of life I love the picture in John there where it talks about the vine being connected to the branches being connected to the vine. That's very real for the Christian. We need to be connected to God. And that comes with a serious daily Bible reading and prayer. A real time of connecting. Accountability. You know, for those of you that do have accountability in your lives, either with friends or parents or your accountability groups, whoever, whatever, you know the blessing that it brings. And I know we try to keep on encouraging that in our own church group. That's a desire, but yet it is hard to know how it all works and what's the best way to make it work, good accountability. But I really encourage you to reach out to peers, to friends, and even older friends that you have. Reach out to them. Be honest and open. Accountability goes so far in connecting. It brings you support. It also brings you accountability. When you're accountable, it just helps you to remember in more of a physical way that, I have my friends that are going to be asking me how things are going. Accountability does so much for us. Fellowship with other Christians. That's kind of obvious. But I don't want us to underestimate going to church. I hope that you enjoy going to church. And I guess for us older ones, we need you there. That's one of the big reasons too. We all need each other. But fellowshipping with Christians is beautiful. And it's what we need. How many times you go to church sometimes you feel like, oh, I wouldn't mind just staying home. I just feel kind of tough. I just don't feel real motivated this morning. But yet, after church, we feel like, wow, that was a good morning. I feel refreshed. I trust that you know what that's like. Be involved in mentoring and other kingdom work. We need to be open to opportunities that come. And just being willing. We've had song leaders, we had people that had devotions through these past few days, we had ushers, you had your home church, you had Sunday school. Be willing and be available. As you see opportunities, take them. That's not just to make you look like a good person, but it's good for you. It's good for us to do our part. It's so easy to get to be withdrawn and let the church do its thing, and I'll just join in and just fill the last bench there, keep that part warm. No, there's so much to do in being involved, and it blesses you abundantly. So in this all, I don't want to minimize any of your journeys of life. Your journey is real. Your circumstances are real. But I want to encourage you not to let the circumstances, the things that you face, take your focus off God. And don't let those things take you down the wrong trail. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" And Proverbs 3:6 says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." I think we will close there, and we will circle back to some of this, I think, on Friday morning. So, Lord bless you in your journeys of life. Be real with God.